Third hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Tuesday afternoon. We said we would kick off the hour with Jim Wyatt. He's on the line with us, TitansOnline.com. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Can you imagine if the NFL season was underway? I wonder what we'd be talking about. It's the only sport, the ones that are going on, that they're being affected right now with all this new news. The NFL really isn't, because, of course, they're not in their playing season. I wonder what we would be talking about if it was the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for NFL, keeping it there, I hope things get cleared up, and not only for people who cover sports teams and follow teams and try to live their lives, so hopefully things will be under control, whereby by the time training camps kick off, that this virus will be under control. As I see it spread and see cancellations, I saw the Ivy League tournament canceled today. I know about all the locker room access, which has been cut out for leagues. It's hard to imagine it's at that point, and I've got a couple of events I'm scheduled to go to, the owners' meetings at the end of this month, and then the draft in April. I usually cover that, and certainly some questions about what's going to happen with so much unknown out there. And hopefully by the time the season starts, things will be under control. Hopefully the summer will do some good in killing this virus.
Yeah, I mean, just think about that. I mean, we're not too far removed. We know where the draft was last year, and the 450,000 people that were in our city. And you do wonder what would have happened if we were sitting here this time last year and this was going on. Man, it's a scary thought.
I think it would have impacted maybe attendance. Obviously, people here, I think, would have gone. But people that have traveled here, from across the country and from all over the world, I think with some of the limitations and some of the concerns that are out there, I think it would have been a different experience. And I know I've heard so much talk about what the Vegas draft experience will be like. I can't help but wonder if things are going to change there. There's just so much unknown. Just like with the league year and the CBA that's coming up, you look around the league, from events because of the coronavirus to uncertainty about what things are going to look like for contracts with the collective bargaining agreement not settled yet. There's the NFL certainly is faced with a heck of a lot of uncertainty right now.
We know that our area was affected a week ago, and I know the Titans were out there. Amy Adams Strunk, nice gesture of obviously donating $1 million. The Mike Vrabel, John Robinson, players out in the community. You were out there. What did you see?
Well, as somebody who grew up in Nashville, a Nashville native, it's tough to see the city take us such a hit like it did. I've been out to North Nashville several times, and just to see the devastation there has been unreal. It's really sad that so many people are dealing with loss of homes, and people lost lives with this storm, and it's going to be a long time before things return to normal, and for some people it never will return to the way it used to be. But it has been inspiring to see so many people out wanting to help. I was out there for a team event on Friday, and that was – I know anytime you have stuff like that happen, I think people are very appreciative and they applaud the team for doing it. Then you've got another group that says, well, it's a publicity stunt, and then that's not what it was at all. There were people who were chomping at the bit to get out there and help, and I was back out there on Sunday because Buck Rising, who's a friend of mine, lives in North Nashville, and so I was wanting to lend – some support for him, and there were several other players out there, a whole bunch of people from the organization that went out there quietly to do work again Sunday, and it's because people want to help. It's not just the Titans, it's people from all over Nashville. The amount of water and the amount of manpower that has showed up out there, and the people that are bringing clothes and food and people helping each other, people that live in the community that are cooking for people that are out there either working or who certainly remain without electricity and are just trying to make it day to day. It's inspiring to see so many people just flood the city to help. I mean, you know, we've had to set up parking over at Nissan Stadium to let shuttles run to get people to and from the areas just because they're so congested with people who are showing up out there trying to lend a hand. So, you know, I think that will continue. It will need to continue. I mean, this is not just a week long deal that's and things are at least good. I mean, they're going to need help for weeks and months to come. But the progress that's been made has been remarkable, and that's because so many people have shown up to try to lend a hand.
The PA's vote has been moved again, and so where do you think this is going? Are they going to find resolution? Is the new CBA? How do you think this is going to play out?
I don't know. I mean, it would just be me speculating. I don't know what some of this means about why there have been delays. And I saw a story this morning that several of the players some people who we've seen, whether it's J.J. Watt or maybe Rodgers, I forgot who maybe the third person was. All these people are people that are in a position of authority who maybe didn't even show up for a meeting that was scheduled, which leads me to speculate other things. Trying to read the tea leaves on what happened is just hard to decide. I'm just hopeful that things do get resolved and a CBA will be in place for an extended period of time, and you won't have to worry about things moving forward, because I think there are so many benefits from it. From, you know, I think the 17th game is exciting. I think the extra playoff team is exciting. I think adding a couple players to the 53-man roster, making it 55, is exciting. Increasing the practice squad number, like the sound of that, the roster, the increase in salary, I think is good. But I know there's concerns on the other side as well. I don't know how it's resolved, but I hope it's resolved where it passes and it can kind of move on to business as usual.
Talking to Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com, and the NFL announced today that the franchise tag deadline has now been moved to Monday at 11:59 a.m. Eastern time, so about 11 o'clock our time, before the legal tampering period opens up. And with all the decisions that John Robinson currently has to make, do you think that makes it a little bit easier on him? Does it affect him at all? It obviously gives them a little more time if he is working behind the scenes to get a deal done with some of these free agents.
Well, I think it helps, obviously. I mean, I think you want to have a vote and want to have some knowledge on what has happened with the CBA before you make decisions on the franchise or transition tags. I mean, I don't know what the team's going to do as far as how many they're going to use, if they're going to use them at all. But, you know, there's obviously an opportunity to tag two people as things stand right now, but that could change as a result of what happens with the vote. I think the last thing you would do is have to put a tag on guy and have to remove it. So it eliminates a possibility of that happening. But I think the good news there is you'll have a little bit more clarity on things on Monday that you wouldn't have had tomorrow on Thursday. I'm sorry, if that would have remained the date. So where things go, I mean, I think certainly John Robinson, and Ben Marino, who handles the cap, and Mike Vrabel, I know they've had conversations every day throughout this whole process and have an idea of which way they're wanting to go on a lot of these, and other ones you just don't know. But I think, obviously, giving a little bit more time helps.
You've covered this team, obviously, for a long time. You know John Robinson. You've worked with him. Given the success that the Titans had last year going to the AFC Championship game, on top of all of the free agents, the contracts that are expiring, and what this team needs to do, would you say that this is the most important offseason that John Robinson has had in his tenure?
I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, obviously it's important, but I think any offseason when you're making a change at head coach, which was the case when they made the big decision going from Mike Mularkey to Mike Vrabel a couple of years ago, I think that probably trumps this one. I think, obviously, you have some big decisions to make on who you want to keep. I feel confident they'll make the right decision on guys that you want to keep the momentum going. But there's no question that things are going to look different next year, because they always do. And just how different, really a lot depends on what happens. You know, you can control certain things, but you can't control how much money other teams are going to jump out there and maybe try to pay Logan Ryan or try to pay Jack Conklin or try to pay some of your other unrestricted free agents who will have decisions to make. I mean, obviously, Titans hold some of the cards here because you have some tags available and you have a chance to negotiate with these guys before free agency starts. But it's big, but I wouldn't say it's bigger than the year when you're coming off a playoff win and you decide that you need a change at the top to try to take it to another level, because that's when you're really starting over, and the decision to go from Mularkey to Vrabel and then swap out the whole staff and then try to rebuild a team that fit that staff and what you want to do moving forward. I would say that offseason was more critical than this one, but you just want to sustain it.
Jim, we had Floyd Reese come and sit in with us for a segment yesterday before his show, and one thing that Darren brought up to him was, did when he was the GM, did he talk to agents about the fact that Nashville, that Tennessee doesn't have the state income tax, and how much of a negotiation tactic was that for him as he tried to get deals done? Do you think how important do you think that really is, especially when you're a GM like John Robinson that's going to have to do a lot of negotiations with some important positions, and you have players that have been on your roster that are going to be due for some pay raises?
Well, I definitely think that has something to do with it. I know Adam Humphries, for instance, last year, he got offered more money at other places. But and the deal here, you know, when you look at the numbers, was less. But when you talk about money in the pocket, it was more here just because of that fact. And I think, you know, savvy agents and players realize that. And so that plays a factor. But I think you also what plays a factor – you know, for players now, is you can't just look straight at the money. I mean, you got to consider, you know, what the opportunity's like, where a franchise is going. You know, do I have a chance to go to the Super Bowl with this team? You know, what's the leadership like? I mean, I think you got to consider all that. And I think there's so many things that play in the Titans' favor there when you're looking at free agents now compared to what it might have looked like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago when team was sitting at, you know, 3-13 or dealing with a lot of transition. I think if free agents are looking at good landing spots, you know, if you're looking at a team that just can't play in the AFC Championship team, and you're looking at a team that's got a young head coach in Mike Vrabel who has kind of established himself as one of the top up-and-coming coaches, I think obviously a lot to be determined on what this roster is going to look like, but I think a lot of positives that would go into somebody making a decision on top of the fact that the state income tax gives you, the lack of state income tax gives you a chance to make more money in your pocket.
And we all want that. Do you think this team is interested in any other quarterback other than Ryan Tannehill?
You know, I asked that question at some point a couple of weeks ago or maybe a month ago, and usually people will give me a pretty good indication of you know, or I shouldn't say they give me a pretty good indication, but usually I get at least some feel on how things could play out or maybe what could happen. Sometimes they'll be told what's going to happen and you just got to wait until the right time before you can do anything with it. I asked that question someone at some point, you know, several weeks back, and it was very clear to me that I wasn't going to get an answer, and don't ask again. So yeah, I don't know how that one's going to play out. But
was that your answer to me, or was that the answer that was told to you? I didn't know if you were talking to me or
no. That was the answer that was told to me.
I don't know anything, and don't ask again.
No, the answer to me was, you know, I'm not going to tell you, and don't ask again. I understand. I mean, and I think you can look at it a lot of different ways. I think I'm just kind of speaking at the combine here, just the way the GM and the head coach answered questions about Tannehill, and people read into that. I mean, some people read into it that they might be interested in somebody else, but you know, I think you also have got to read into that that you know these are negotiations that are going on, and players, you know, probably asking for a lot of money, and and rightly so when you've coming off a really good year, and if somebody thinks that you have other options. You know, maybe that helps you in negotiations. So it's all a part of the game that's played leading up to free agency. And it's been this way, you know, since I started covering the team in 99, whether it was in the Steve McNair contract negotiation or Eddie George or you know, you name it, Chris Johnson. I mean, it's all a part of the game that you play, and you're not going to get – stray answers at this time just because, you know, you've got to work through some of this. So non-answers sometimes are part of that.
So Floyd never tipped his hand to you? Is that what you're saying?
I will say that Floyd is – I look back at my days of covering Floyd, and I almost feel bad that I harassed him and bothered him so much because he was so good to me. I called him every day. You know, and sometimes multiple times, and he always answered the phone and always got back to me. And I think about, and again, I'm working with the team now, so I'm not chasing agents like I used to and not chasing people. But I've been through some stretches, certainly, with some coaches or GMs who weren't always as prompt about returning calls and sometimes didn't return calls. And Floyd used to take my call every night around 7, 8 o'clock at night. You know, giving me updates on contract negotiations where he wouldn't compromise himself, give me updates on what the guys were restructuring contracts, you know, getting back to me just on anything that I had. Sometimes he wouldn't tell me anything, but he always called me back. And so sometimes I see Floyd, I just tell him how much I appreciate how good he was to me as far as because when you're a reporter and your job is to try to get information and to stay on top of things and try to have peace of mind and to make sure you're not getting beat on stories, at least, you know, Floyd wouldn't leave me drifting in the wind. And I've always appreciated that.
For all of us who know Floyd, that story doesn't surprise us at all.
Yeah, and I'm sure there were times he was didn't want to answer the phone, and I'd call him at his house, and Sally would answer. Phone and say, well, this is Jim White again, and he can step away from dinner to take my call. So I feel like I'm indebted to Floyd for how good he was to me, always taking my call. And again, he wouldn't always tell me what I was looking to find out, but he at least took my call and was as helpful as he could possibly be.
Hey, yep. Your hounding prepared him to work with Jared, so that's good.
Well, maybe that did help, because he certainly has and it's funny, some of the times he responds to Jerry where he just kind of laughs off stuff. He used to do that with me too.
Yeah,
I'd ask him a question, and he instead of giving an answer, he would just laugh like he couldn't believe I was even asking the question, and that was all I was going to get from him.
Yep, not surprised by that either. Jim, good stuff. Really appreciate you joining us. We'll talk soon.
Okay, y'all have a great day. Thank you.
You too, Jimmy. That's Jim Wyatt. TitansOnline.com is where you can find his work. And, when he was on the beat, he was maybe the best in the league. I'm not kidding.
He was
really, really good at what he did. And he probably does not miss the days of having to chase coaches and players and GMs and agents and all that stuff, especially this time of year, trying to get the scoop on free agent moves, the draft, all that. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Some orders of business. How are you going to vote on the CBA on Thursday, Taylor? Would you share that with us?
Look, I'm pretty sure that's very inappropriate to ask.
Okay.
I've already voted.
Well, okay.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I'll give you a hint. I didn't vote yes, so go ahead and try to figure it out from there.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm not as strongly against nor for. I mean, I think there's a lot more people that are more dialed into the CBA than I am.
Right.
And but I will say I do think it's going to pass.
Taylor Lewan on the Rich Eisen Show. Was that yesterday?
I believe so.
Yeah. Kind of going along, we had Andrew Brandt on yesterday. We talked about this a lot. And I said yesterday, I think Andrew Brandt is really good, but I respectfully disagree with the haves and the have-nots. And that's a prime example.
Yeah,
what category is Taylor Lewan in?
The haves.
He's the haves, right? He's been paid. And what? He's voting what? No.
Yeah.
Of course. Well, of course he is. He's been paid. He's set for life. He's like, another game. Ah! No.
Right.
Paychecks. I'm getting my paychecks. I don't need that extra game. I mean, it's just the reality of it. I'm sorry. I'm not saying I blame him. I get it.
But then at the end, he said he thought it would pass.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, if you've made your dough, I mean, I expect you to have a feeling. It doesn't mean that you're wrong. I also understand why people are living check to check, why they think a certain way. It doesn't mean anybody's wrong in this. It's just that's the reality of it. I'm not condemning one side. I get it. I get both sides. If you're a guy who's had the big payday or days, plural, you've made your money, I understand it. More work? Pfft, nope. Don't think so. You're a guy that's surviving and trying to get to that point, get to the haves, or at least well off, or survival mode. I understand why you think the way you do. Like, sure, I'll do whatever. That's kind of how it works in the real world. It really does. So I'm not surprised by that at all. But just to kind of dismiss that the haves and the have-nots, that's not how this thing plays out.
Yeah.
BS. That is exactly how it plays out, and I understand both roles. Right now, the problem for the haves is there's not enough haves. There's more have-nots than haves.
Yeah, and so that's gonna swing things.
It's going to swing things, yeah.
Browns center J.C. Tretter elected the new NFLPA president, so that just coming out a few minutes ago. He was elected by the 32-member board of player representatives, so he was going up against Michael Thomas and Sam Acho from Tampa. Russell Okung had bowed out. He got nominated, but he took his name out of the hat. So Tretter replaces Eric Winston as the NFLPA president with the vote coming up Saturday because they keep moving it. So hopefully there's going to be some resolution to all of this. The NFL keeps moving the tag deadline. They've moved it twice now, so it'll be Monday, and then I mean, the legal tampering period starts Monday at noon or at noon Eastern. So they got to get this stuff done so the league year can begin on Wednesday and free agents can get signed and everything, and we can start the process leading up to the draft. But a lot of questions still have to be answered, and it all starts with the CBA being ratified and being voted on.
Did you like how I phrased my question to Jim on the quarterbacks?
Yeah, that was good. That was slick. You can tell you've been at this a while. Mm-hmm.
Diana Russini has checked in on
How's
the whole
she doing?
Situation. I was reading this on 24/7 Sports, and you remember who she's been talking about a lot last season. Who was she talking about a lot?
Tannehill?
Yeah,
yep.
Ryan Tannehill. Well, she has weighed in and says, with free agency 1 week away, and the Tom Brady rumors still keep rolling in, that Diana Russini from ESPN has said that the Titans are... You have the clip? All right, let's play it, Elijah.
Ooh, look at that.
If Tom Brady leaves New England, Tennessee is the likeliest destination. I don't feel like you feel that way. Tell us why.
Why does everyone think that that is the perfect match? Is it because...
Because of the head relationship coach? With Mike Vrabel, because of how good that team seems to be with a great mm-hmm. running game, because of a more favorable division, perhaps, that he could go and try mm-hmm. and win. Maybe we're, you know, putting together two and two and coming up with...
Yeah, I think at this point, it's a bit of a stretch. I think Tom Brady certainly has interest in playing with the Tennessee Titans. I think the Titans flirted with the idea. They liked it, maybe have had some meetings to discuss it. But in the end... They want to go with Ryan Tannehill. Whether or not they can figure out how they're going to make that work contractually, we still need to figure out. But you have to figure if they can't come up with a contract that works for Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, they'll most likely tag him. Because remember, they have Derrick Henry, who they're going to most likely need to pay. But in terms of Brady's interest in playing in Nashville, he certainly would love that opportunity. But from what I can gather, it does not seem like the Tennessee Titans are all in on Tom Brady.
I just want to confirm, because it felt to me like when you were first talking about that, you were referring to the Titans' interest in him in the past tense. Did you do that on purpose? Like, you basically like you're saying they've moved past that idea.
I think every team has got to be open-minded to Tom Brady. They have to have that conversation. I just think that they're more committed to making it work with Ryan Tannehill than they are with Tom Brady.
Okay, so that's Diana Russini, and it's the first I've heard of a report like that. Now, I'm not saying that her info is wrong. There's clearly somebody she's been talking to inside the walls. Okay, she's getting information, but let's also, just to paint the picture, put things in perspective. She also is the one who said in training camp, as we sat out there at training camp, and we said, this is just wrong. Like, don't listen to this. It's incorrect. That she said Ryan Tannehill is going to be possibly challenging Mariota for opening
day starter. There was a competition.
There was a competition to be the opening day starter. And we said, that's just baloney. That's just incorrect. And guess what? She backpedaled tremendously, and she was incorrect, not even close. And like I said, that doesn't mean that she's wrong here. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm just putting in perspective, she has been all over the Ryan Tannehill story. That's been her angle. She clearly knows somebody in the Ryan Tannehill camp. She clearly knows somebody that feeds her Ryan Tannehill information. She also came out in July and August and said there was a competition in this market for who was going to be the starter day one. And that was just incorrect.
Yeah,
that was bad information. It was wrong.
Right. Yeah, I am going to go on the Charlie Weiss, who is apparently the lead reporter for Tom Brady, said that on SiriusXM that he's talked to Tommy and that Tom has said, everybody thinks they know, nobody knows anything. And I think to an extent that's true. Now, based on our conversation yesterday, I think that there are certain people that know things. I think Tom Brady could be one of those people. I think he probably has an idea. I think Mike Vrabel and John Robinson know who their quarterback is going to be. I asked you that point blank. You said yes. So they have an idea. So I do think there are some people that know something. I'm not going to just, dismiss her report. She could be right. But I'm also, when you get something wrong, then it doesn't go away. So I also look at that of, hey, you know what? You're off this summer. And so I'm...
And we said she was going to be off.
Right.
I mean, we pointed that out many times, like, wherever she's getting this, it's just her information is wrong. And she did. It didn't take her long before she was backpedaling on those comments.
In every other report that we've seen, Jeff Darlington, Adam Schefter, they have all been putting out there like, hey, the Titans are in on this. The Titans are Jeremy Fowler, another one. The Titans have a very good shot of landing Tom Brady. Well, majority here are reporting that, Tom Brady, there's interest there and that it could happen. So until I have a definitive answer, I'm in wait and see mode, and I'm gonna lean towards listening to those guys, just because I think that they have the answer. And I'm not saying she hasn't done her homework, but I think that they could have some sources closer to both parties that are steering in that direction, because they don't just throw that stuff out there, as we've said.
Tom Curran, who is a Patriots insider for NBC Sports, went on Colin Cowherd's show and said, in his opinion, that yes, the Titans are a realistic option for Tom Brady. He said, absolutely they are. He said, I think there's a number of reasons that they would be. I think one of them would be the stick it to Bill Belichick notion. Okay? Look, that's going to be a temporary thing. Yeah, you stick it to Bill in a new situation. At some point, Brady is going to be out there by himself in a new situation and all the things that come up with it. With the Patriots, so the Patriots are of the mind that a lot of this is Brady has to forecast how things will be for him once he takes that big leap. That was Tom Curran, Patriots insider, when asked about the Titans being an option, and he said, absolutely, they're a realistic option. Like I said, that's kind of the first time we've really heard somebody come out and say that, in Diana Russini's comments, that the Titans are not all in on signing Tom Brady, and that they're did she even say that they were going to tag Tannehill? Did she play that again? Play that again, Elijah. This is on Get Up this morning.
If Tom Brady leaves New England, Tennessee is the likeliest destination. I don't feel like you feel that way. Tell us why.
Why does everyone think that that is the perfect match? Is it because
of the head relationship coach? With Mike Vrabel, because of how good that team seems to be with a great mm-hmm. running game, because of a more favorable division, perhaps, that he could go and try mm-hmm. and win? Maybe we're putting together two and two and coming up with
yeah, five. I think at this point it's a bit of a stretch. I think Tom Brady certainly has interest in playing with the Tennessee Titans. I think the Titans flirted with the idea. They liked it, maybe have had some meetings to discuss it. But in the end, they want to go with Ryan Tannehill. Whether or not they can figure out how they're going to make that work contractually, we still need to figure out. But you have to figure if they can't come up with a contract that works for Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, they'll most likely tag him. Because remember, they have Derrick Henry, who they're going to most likely need to pay. But in terms of Brady's interest in playing in Nashville, he certainly would love that opportunity. But from what I can gather, it does not seem like the Tennessee Titans are all in on Tom Brady.
I just want to confirm.
So she's saying that if they can't work out a contract, they're going to tag him. Is that not what she just said?
That's what she said. I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I think they're going to tag Derrick Henry. Because to me, I know it's a risk either way, but if you let Tannehill walk into free agency, I think your chances of re-signing him are still better than that of Derrick Henry, because we all know about the stupid money that gets thrown around when free agency opens. So that's why I think you protect yourself. You know you can't lose Derrick Henry. We agree. We all agree on that, right?
Yes.
You cannot lose Derrick Henry.
And they won't.
So you go ahead and you tag him. You buy yourself some time to continue negotiations. Now, look, they've moved the tag deadline to Monday. There could be discussions right now between Jimmy Sexton and John Robinson on behalf of Derrick Henry going on as we speak, and by Sunday night it could be leaking out that, hey, they've struck a deal. That changes a lot of things, because then all of a sudden you got one done. So you can take that franchise tag and put it somewhere else. So this deadline being moved could change things. Now, do I think that's actually going to happen? No. I don't think they get a deal done before Sunday or Monday. I think that this stretches on. But to say that they're going to probably end up using the franchise tag on Ryan Tannehill, I just don't believe that. Because I believe there are too many other options at quarterback, whereas you don't have another option at running back.
We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Hey, we're going to be at Kroger tomorrow, 1203 Murfreesboro Road in Franklin. 8 hours of live programming, starting with our show from 10 to 2. We're going to be collecting donations for Second Harvest Food Bank. Customers can donate non-perishable items in-store and can donate to relief efforts at the checkout. Our communities are tough and will come out to this disaster stronger than ever. So we're going to be at a Kroger in Franklin tomorrow during our show. We'll be out there in the afternoon show. We'll be out there. So 8 hours of live programming at 1203 Murfreesboro Road. If I were to ask you, Chase, and I'm going to ask Elijah too, if we just flat out just ask people, like, I want to take out money, I want to take out all that stuff, okay? Because I think in the end, it's probably going to be pretty close to being the same length of contract. I want to take all that stuff, the business side of it out. And I just simply ask you, who is the best option under center for the Titans next season? What is your answer? And what do you think most people would say if we did a vote?
Well, let's do it. Let's do a vote.
Okay.
I'd love it on Twitter.
I'd love to know. People text in too.
Yeah. Text in 615-737-1025 and we'll put it on Twitter.
How do you think that plays out?
I think you'd be surprised about how many people take Tannehill.
See, I don't think I would be surprised.
In terms of that people reacting that way, or
I think
it's going to be more 50-50.
I don't believe so, and I'll tell you why. I think one, for people that are looking for a reason, they're going to obviously state the obvious: age, right? One guy's going to be 43, one guy will be 32, and so, old guy versus younger guy. He's not exactly young. He's not a young whippersnapper. He's younger. So that's an obvious thing, right? So people are going to say, oh, take the younger guy, more mobile guy. Okay, I get that. I also think there's the element of, and I get it. I mean, what happens with success when you have success and lots of success? And there's been, let's be honest, stuff swirling around your success over the years, over the decades, right? Become, right? When you are the marker for a league for a very, very long time, which means you have a lot of haters, period. And I get that. That's what happens. Like I said, tons of success. People love to hate you. They get tired of your winning. They get tired of your success. They get tired of you beating their favorite team. And so I think there's that going on too. I think people they have Patriots fatigue. They have Tom Brady fatigue. And they also have questions about what went on during a lot of the runs, which I get. And so I think that plays a factor. I think that plays into it. I mean, Tannehill has none of that. None of that. But he also hasn't done any of the winning.
But
hasn't done any of the winning at all.
To your point, I think, and we know what side I've been on with Ryan Tannehill. I think to your point, though, Tom Brady is that guy. He's like Ryan Kessler. You hate him. Oh, you hate him. You hate going against him. You hate everything he stands for. But if he was on your team, you might change your mind pretty fast. Now, there are some people that
I haven't seen those tweets.
There are
some
people.
I've seen more of those tweets. If you guys can keep doing the Tom Brady love fast, but if you think I'm going to kiss his butt, forget it.
We've got
a lot of those tweets.
We have two votes coming in on the text line. Both say Tannehill.
Yeah, that's what I said. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
And it's on our Twitter. At 102.5 The Game, who is the best option under center for the Titans next season, Brady or Tannehill? I'm going to say Ryan Tannehill. That's my answer. I think now, do I think that you could file this under 1A, 1B? You probably could. But Tannehill knows the offense. He has a great relationship with Arthur Smith. Those two hit it off. The offense flourished under him. He already has rapport with the receivers. And Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, but you cannot underestimate the fact that even though Tannehill was new last year, that rapport with receivers is very important. Now, I know they'll work on it, and Tom Brady's a pro, will figure it all out. But I think that's important that he knows the personnel, because the weapons around him aren't really going to change all that much. Now, they could add a few here and there. Tajae Sharpe could leave. Delanie Walker obviously wasn't really a factor last year, but I think that stuff is important. But the relationship with the offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, is the biggest one for me, and so that's why I vote Tannehill.
I think I got to go Tannehill too, just because it's what you know. The familiarity doesn't bother me as much, because I feel like Tom Brady already knows this Titans offense forwards and backwards. He probably knows every offense in the NFL forwards and backwards. And it's tough. I mean, if this is the situation you're in right now where you're picking between Tom Brady and a career year Ryan Tannehill who helped take you to the playoffs, you're in a lot better position than you were last year when you're kind of going back and forth on whether or not Marcus Mariota is your man for the future. I would have to lean Tannehill, but like, and honestly, for our jobs, Tom Brady coming here would be fantastic. And Darren's hit on it plenty of times that
sure,
we'll get Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. Like, we're the talk of the NFL. For a long time, the millisecond Tom Brady decides to come here. From a football standpoint.
Well, they're the talk of the NFL right now because he's linked here.
Or there's speculation that he's coming here. Right. We're already playing ESPN clips, you know, the last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks about
speculation. I've never seen the Titans, since they've been to Nashville, they've never had this much national discussion in an offseason, ever. It's really not even close. That just goes to show you the power of that name and what it would mean. I mean, they're not, it's just a rumor. That's all it is. And yet they're discussed every single day in the national media. We know locally that's our job. We're here locally, but the national media, it's not their job. They don't have to do that, but they do every single day. All these shows discuss Tom Brady, and they discuss, they're always linking him and bringing up the Titans angle. Always. I mean, it would be then times it by, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 10. I don't know what it would be
yep.
if it actually happened. That's what it would be like. For some people, because I know I used to take a lot of the calls. Why doesn't national media ever? I had a standard answer. Why do you care? Who cares? You live here.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about them. What do you care whether Dodo Brain Skip Bayless is talking about the Titans or not? Who cares? It's just, it's irrelevant. But there were a lot of people, they did care. It bothered them. And I get it. They were passionate. The Titans were good. And, you know, we've had the same stuff with the Predators, right? People just, they get obsessed with, why doesn't the national media pick them to win? Or why aren't they talking about them more? And I always, it's always my answer to any local team. Who cares? But there are people who care. That would all go away. That all goes away. Every bit of that. You never hear that discussion piece.
Let me also say this. If the Titans go, let's say that they pick Brady, you also build something into that. That if they sign Brady and it just flops, and you know he falls over the cliff and realizes he's 43 and it just doesn't work, you at least have the, hey, they went for it. They signed the greatest quarterback of all time. It just didn't work out. So I think that there would be more of the people that supported it. Now, the ones that were Team Tannehill may not feel this way, but there would be more of a built-in excuse of, well, they went for it with an aging quarterback and it didn't work. If they re-sign Tannehill, like I've said, and I'll read these texts in just a second, not one vote for Brady yet. They've all voted Tannehill. If they re-sign him and it doesn't work, you don't have that built-in excuse. You just have he played 10 games, swing and a miss, or 13 games, you know, with the playoffs, swing and a miss, it didn't work. There we go, Ryan Tannehill again. So I do think that's an interesting sub-storyline, a subplot to look at, of there is a little bit of a built-in excuse. When you text in, put your name so I can give you credit. But Tannehill, as a football fan, I am just perplexed with the media's fascination with Tom Brady to the Titans. He's been a part of a dynasty that has won a lot but are also known cheaters, yet media wants the Houston Astros tarred and feathered. Can you say hypocrisy?
Like I said, there you go. There's where I think that's where it all lies. A lot of it is just simply the Brady fatigue, the Patriots fatigue, the black clouds that are around them, and all that is fair. It's more than fair. But I think that plays a big, big part. So when you say surprise that Tannehill, no. I said that because I expected, and I wanted to see it too firsthand, but I expected it to be Tannehill. There's a lot of people, but I do think.
Here's the most honest answer.
If it were to come out, I think those people change.
Oh, of course they do.
They change.
Easily.
It's easy to say it now because you're like, yeah, he's not coming. But if it actually happened, I think a lot of those people would flop.
Especially if they win.
Yeah.
Winning changes, I guess, anything. I mean, the fact that he's won 6 Super
changes
Bowls.
Changes everything.
And if you know you can win with them, they don't care. They won't care about the other stuff. I'll go and say that.
He's
they won't care about the other stuff.
Been to 9 Super Bowls. Yeah. Just think about that. He's played in 9 Super Bowls.
Do you think the people in New England that have their Super Bowl champion T-shirts, 6 of them, do you think they lose sleep at night about deflated footballs or spying?
Do you know how many franchises we could stack up in the NFL that combined haven't played in 9 Super Bowls? Think about that. Well, we know we start with all the teams that have never been there. Lions, mm-hmm. Browns, throw them in there. Titans have been to 1. Okay, Jacksonville, never been there. I mean, we could go. Think about the teams
Cleveland.
We could stack up. I already said it. Thanks for listening.
Sorry.
That we could stack up and say they've never even been. All those teams combined have never been to 9 Super Bowls. He's played in 9 Super Bowls.
We're on it back here. We're going to find out.
Melissa says this. Tannehill is the better option, but I want Brady. I want to see the circus that comes with it. That is probably the most honest answer that I have seen. Because that is true.
What is the circus?
Well, you get...
What do you think she means by that?
The circus is what we're watching. ESPN, NBC, the national games. The fact that on NFL Live every day, our buddy Tim Hasselbeck that will join us tomorrow is probably going to be talking about the Titans and Tom Brady. You also have TB12, Giselle, you know, the other part of it that's on on him. That's the circus.
It's the brand.
The brand.
The brand.
The TB12 brand. 63% on Twitter vote Ryan Tannehill.
That's actually lower than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's early. But
So this one said Tim in Nashville. D-Mac has Ryan Tannehill. D-Mac has got to stop living in the past. The Jets sign names, and where does that get them?
Oh, he's a name now. Huh? I'll refresh everybody with this exercise. Since the old man has been in his 40s, right? Because he should be worm food by now. Now that he's in his 40s, I get it. Since he's been in his 40s, he has lost in the Super Bowl, won in the Super Bowl, and lost in the wild card round with a bag of bones on offense. That's what he's done in his 40s. That's the past. That's just the 40s. If we had 3 years of crap, it would be easy for all of us to conclude of what is he doing, right? What in the world is he hanging on to this for? Give it up, dude. You won, you're going to the Hall of Fame. You've done all your winning. Get out. That's what he's done in his 40s. Lost in the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, lost in the wild card. And now he's toast, right? He's dust. It's the past.
Mm.
Wow. Those are some pretty – what are your expectations? What is your bar for the old, decrepit man that has lost in the Super Bowl, won in the Super Bowl, and lost in the wild card in his 40s, and now it's in the past? Interesting. Okay. You know how many young guys I could say that about? I'm going to give you their resume. No playoffs, no playoffs, finish 4-12, finish 7-9, finish 8-8. That young guy in his 20s. Mike, what's up?
Not much. How you guys doing today?
Good.
Wonderful.
Yeah, guys, I'm all for Brady coming to Tennessee, man. You know, I heard you talking, and you know, you're absolutely correct about him having 9 Super Bowls he's played in. He's won 6 of them. You'd be crazy to be Tennessee to have an opportunity to get Tom Brady and have the knowledge and experience that he has, even at his age, play for your team. And I think Tennessee would just be awesome if they had Derrick Henry in the background behind him. I think Tennessee would be a serious force to reckon with.
Well, we're about to find out in about a week, Mike.
Hopefully so, man.
Whether
if
any of this is true or not, I don't know. We're going to probably have an answer, I would think, sometime next week.
Yeah, I think so.
Thanks for the call.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
I did tweet this morning right before the show.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hey, Tom, good morning, my friend. I know we still have a few days, but I was wondering if you had decided on Nashville yet. Let me know if you need any advice. It's awesome. We even have a soccer team now. Hit me up. Later, bro.
Nothing?
No.
Did you get a like?
No, nothing. Nothing. I don't understand.
Jerk. Maybe that's why a lot of people don't want him to come
Somebody
here.
Somebody tweeted and said, that's a whole voicemail.
Do what?
Somebody tweeted at me, or Brandon said, this is a whole voicemail. Other people are telling me to stop.
No,
I will not.
We got the old stop stuff. Love it. All right, we'll come back. We'll head up to Montreal. By the way, the Ivy League is now shutting down spring practices. So the Ivy League is just saying, we're shutting everything down. No conference tournament, no spring practice. They're shutting everything down. All right, we'll come back, head up to Montreal next.